Well, our next scripture reading will be 2 Corinthians 2, 10 through 14. Once again, there'll be a little lesson before we go to this actual scripture. And I want to talk about Corinth like before I talked about Philippi. You know, there was always trouble in Corinth. It was a port city. Now, a port city meant that there were sailors. And you know, wherever there's sailors, there's going to be some kind of trouble. It's true. But anyways, they came from all different kinds of cultures, personalities. Even among the Christians that were in Corinth, there were attacks on Paul, just like back in Philippi. There were Christians there who had different agendas and stuff like that that they were using to further their own careers and their own individual ministry. Now, once again, Paul was traveling to Macedonia, but he wanted to first visit Corinth because of its worldly manner. He appealed to his followers there to be firm in their adherence to the Spirit. Corinth was and continued to be a challenge. And this verse, these verses, are his instructions to the Christians there. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are unaware of his schemes. Now, once again, Paul is on the road to Macedonia again, and the battle is going between him and the devil. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel, that was one of the places on the way, to preach the gospel of Christ, and found that the Lord had not opened the door for me, I still had no peace of mind, because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him wherever. I'm off to Macedonia. This is the reading in the Word of God.
I guess we have space for me to put away my phone, but I'll probably forget it up here. This is the sixth time I've talked in front of y'all. Nice southern y'all picked that up in Virginia. And I guess I'm doing okay because Dave keeps asking me to fill in. The last time, it was just before Palm Sunday, and the time before that was kind of a really sudden thing. Dave was sick. And during that time, we talked about the upper room discourse and Christ's last message to his disciples, all of who were there except for Paul, of course. And then Palm Sunday, we talked about Christ out of the Gospels, how he went into Jerusalem for Palm Sunday the week before the Passover. But today, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul. And Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Had verses from his work in Philippi, and we talked a little bit about his works with the Corinthians. But he was also, besides being the apostle to the Gentiles, he was the apostle of grace. Grace is all that God can do for us based on the work of Christ on the cross. He taught grace probably more, well, he wrote most of the New Testament, but that's what his focus was. So we're going to examine a little more closely the passages that he read. We're going to start with Philippians 3. And in Philippians 3, we're going to learn about the surpassing value of knowing Christ. And then we're going to break that down. We're going to look at a couple of verses in Corinthians so that we can learn how to advance in the spiritual life, focusing on knowing Christ. So we're going to try to learn something, and I'm going to wave my arms a lot today. I wish I had a whiteboard so I could write some of this stuff up here, but we don't. So we're going to give it a shot. I want to quickly start out with a moment of silence in case there are sins you might have to name. Take a moment to name those sins that you may have in your life. Thank you, Father, for all your grace. Help us to focus on this scripture that we're going to be learning today, and may it be useful for our life and for you. For Christ's name, amen. Okay, the first scripture reading, Paul's letter to the Philippians. In chapter 2, in Philippians, chapter 2 was one of the four great Christological passages in the Bible, where Paul talks about Christ. But and it was in Philippi, if you remember the teaching of Acts that we recently went through, Philippi was where Paul was in prison. And he was imprisoned there, and there was an earthquake that broke he and Barnabas out of prison. And he didn't leave, though. He stayed there. And the jailer, who lost all his prisoners, was horrified. But Paul stayed and converted him to Christianity, brought him to the Lord, and that was the beginning of the Philippian church. The Philippian church was near and dear to Paul's heart. And we're going to look a little more closely at the verses we went over, the first scripture reading. Because the background for Paul's letter to the Philippian church was his concern about the Judaizers. Paul's in prison in Rome. He's not going to get out again. And he's sending Epaphroditus and Timothy back to the Philippian church. But he's been getting information, and he's really, really concerned about the Judaizers. Who were the Judaizers? The Judaizers were Jews who were following in Paul's footsteps and going to the early churches and trying to convince them, well, we love the Apostle Paul and how you believe and how you become a Christian through faith. And but the Judaizers says, but you have to do more. And they wanted to start forcing or encouraging aspects of Judaism into the churches. Well, Paul was horrified that this was going to destroy the church. For instance, he's starting to tell them that they have to be circumcised. Well, the Jews had that happen at eight days old. Imagine what that was doing to the early churches when you're going in there and preaching circumcision to these Greeks. And so Paul was very, very concerned about these Judaizers saying, we're holy, we follow the law, and that you had to have more than grace. So, of course, Paul opposed that. And he went after that and to kind of put these guys down by saying, if anybody should have confidence in the flesh and in works like in Judaism, it's me. I was circumcised on the eighth day. That meant I had a Jewish family and had a very devout Jewish family in Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was brought up as a Jew. He was of the people of Israel, the chosen people. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin was one of the great tribes of the 12 tribes. The tribe of Benjamin were the great warriors. They were some of the greatest. They had 35,000 warriors who supported the nation. And they had the first king, King Saul, who Saul of Tarsus was named after. He was also a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a celebrity. Everybody in Jerusalem, throughout the nation, knew Paul. He was famous. He was brilliant. He was the greatest theologian of his time of Judaism. In regards to the law, he was a Pharisee. What's a Pharisee? A Pharisee was an organization that of theologians that said everything we do has to be based on Judaism. There were other parties in the Sanhedrin. There were the Sadducees who were Hellenists and they had taken on Greek philosophy. And there were the Zealots who wanted to go to war and kill everybody. They were kind of way out there on the fringe. But the Pharisees were the devout followers of Judaism. He was one of the greatest Pharisees. And as for zeal, he was emotional about his work for God. And he went after Christians, persecuting the early church, even to the point of murder. And he was there at the stoning of Stephen. And he also was for righteousness based on the law faultless. He was the epitome of self-righteousness. So Paul goes through this all so that he can say to these Judaizers, hey, I'm better than you at what you're trying to do, and I have given that up. And we have to follow Christ's teaching through faith in Christ, not of works. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. And then in verse 3 of Philippians 3:8, it says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of the knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. English isn't giving that enough emphasis. It's extreme worth of knowing Christ Jesus. And you know Christ Jesus through his word, through scripture. We're going to get into that a little bit here in a sec. The King James Version says the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. So Paul is taking all of his former celebrityship and he is putting that down. In fact, he puts it down in the King James. It said it's all dung. The Greek word is skubalo, which is excrement. He is putting all of that righteousness from the former way of life down in as big a way as he can. So he considered everything lost, for I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. So, how do you do that? Let's look at the little bit in Corinthians. I want to look at 1 Corinthians 2:13. And these things, it says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. Okay, so I'm going to draw a Z. I think I can draw a backward Z. Okay? And up here, at the starting edge of Z, is our pastor teacher. And he's filled with the Spirit and in fellowship. And he teaches the Logos, he teaches the Word. And when he teaches the Word, the Holy Spirit takes that and moves it over to our human spirit. As believers, we have a soul and a spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit teaching our human spirit the words of the Scripture. It is then transferred down to the soul by the Holy Spirit, where it is now knowledge. This is all going on in our heads as we're sitting here learning Scripture. It's now transferred down to the soul, where it's known as gnosis. Paul uses the word gnosis, which is knowledge. Then, after we understand it, and we understand what is being taught, the Holy Spirit then waits for us to act. And our act, our action, is from our volition, our freedom of choice. And when we believe it, it then gets transferred into the soul as what Paul calls epinosis, the full knowledge of God. So this process, the pastor teaching us, the Holy Spirit influencing it and making it sense, and going down to our soul and then transferred from gnosis. The root word in the Greek is gnosko, to know the surpassing knowledge of Christ. So it goes from gnosis to epignosis, where it is then usable. It's how we learn Scripture, and it then goes in, and it's beneficial. So when you want to know about the surpassing greatness of Christ, the Scripture is the mind of Christ. When we're learning Scripture, that's the process. Gnosis to epignosis, to the full knowledge. It then goes into our stream of consciousness. We think about it and we apply it to life. We apply it when you're cancer-free. We pray when we have issues. But we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and all of this epignosis is how we learn about the surpassing greatness of Christ. It goes into our memory. We can remember it. It goes into vocabulary. This is how we learn the words of the Scripture that people who aren't Christians don't know about. It's how we learn about righteousness being imputed to us at salvation. And it's usable then. And it also affects our conscience. So we know we make choices. So I wanted to kind of break down some of those little mechanics and give you all something to use in the rest of our lives. The trick is keep doing that. Keep learning Scripture. Grow in grace, as Peter said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What you learn about the Scripture is what you take with you forever. It is the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus that Paul talks about. And that's where my notes end today. Father, thank you for this opportunity to learn Scripture. We pray you'll help us to use it in our daily lives. In Christ's name, amen.